This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Now with part one of the Morning Ag Show, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy, and good morning. Your grain futures yesterday on the Board of Trade did close higher across the board. Corn futures followed soybeans from yesterday higher, closing with gains and near the high price for the day. March futures ended at 440, up by 2.5, and its highest close for this year. December new crop gained 1.5, closing at 420, also a new high close for that contract. Fund buying was likely noted late on Monday. They came into Monday long and estimated 305,000 contracts. A port strike in Argentina has been viewed as supportive, with no likely near-term resolution. In addition, weekend rain were noted in Argentina, but it's likely lighter than anticipated, and dry conditions are to return later on this week. Export inspections at 30 million bushel were term neutral. So far this marketing year, which began back on September 1, inspections totaled 501 million bushel, or about 19% of total expected sale. A sharp rally in the dollar earlier on Monday morning had corn futures on the defensive, but the dollar failed to hold those gains, and soon commodities were gaining ground. Both old and new crop prices have rallied enough to encourage more farmer selling, and we'll see if that is the case or if the market worries on more weather in South America. Export sales will be released on tomorrow, Wednesday, rather than the normal Thursday release due to Christmas on Friday. Christmas Eve, again, is Thursday. Soybean futures finished with sharp gains yesterday, add another round of new contract highs posted. Contract for January closed up by 23.25, March up by 23.5, leading yesterday's gains, closing at 12.47.5, pushing the door to 12.50. New crop November ended at 10.91.25. That's new crop next year. That was up 10 cents. Export inspections at 93 million bushels are outstanding, reflecting a rapid pace of movement overseas. Year-to-date inspections is 1.274 billion bushel, or 58% of the expected sales for the year. Export sales will be released again tomorrow, rather than the normal Thursday release due to Christmas Eve. Some rainfall fell in Argentina over the weekend, but expectations are for net drying in the days ahead leading to Christmas. In addition, a strike by port workers and lack of movement with the ships docked there and no immediate end in sight provides support as well. Late in the session yesterday, the U.S. dollar retreated from sharp gains earlier on Monday morning, and that seemed to be enough to give beans their final boost. Overhead resistance lies at 12.55 from a price consolidation back 7 years ago in 2013, where resistance is at an area that at one time was support. Monday's activity looks very friendly to push over the 12.55 mark today. Finally, March Chicago wheat futures were up by 3 cents, 6.11.25, May also up 3, 6.12.25, March Kansas City up by 5.25, 5.74.5, May Kansas City up by 4.75 at 5.78.25. Wheat Monday morning was not a friendly picture with the U.S. dollar up. COVID concerns out of Great Britain had also put pressure on all outside markets, pushing on the entire grain complex. However, soybean made the turn first, slowly pulling corn and then wheat into the market a little higher. Not shocking, but Russian exports dropped to 37.5 million metric tons from 40 million metric tons as Russia's export tax, starting on February 15th, has propped up competitors. As noted last week, for the first time in months, Egypt tendered no wheat from Russia. Dryness remains in southern Russia and the U.S. plains, keeping a supportive tone to the market. Funds continue to get longer in Kansas City wheat, currently at 52,613 contracts long, which is supportive but puts Kansas City wheat in a more volatile position of potential liquidation down the road. Export inspections were made better than last week at 391,200 metric ton versus last week's 261,000. January options will expire on Thursday, Christmas Eve. And again, a reminder, markets close early at 12 noon on Thursday on Christmas Eve. So to recap your grain futures from Monday off the Board of Trade, Corn in the nearby contract was up by 2.5 cents. Next year, December corn up by 1.5. Soybeans in the two near contracts had January up by 23.25, March up by 23.5. New crop November next year up by 10. And wheat in Chicago up by 3 cents. Wheat in Kansas City up by 5 to 6 cents. Now we'll move on and take you to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Monday's Cash Grain Report.
This is Monday's reported grain price and trend prepared for the Illinois Department of Agriculture. The only cut grain prices are higher on Monday afternoon. A labor strike in Argentina and dry weather in South America furnished a prop to values today. In northern West Illinois, cut grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 2 cents higher at 410 to 441. Soybean bids are up 17 to 23 cents at 1193 to 1233. In central Illinois, cut grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 2 cents higher at 422 to 444. Soybean bids are up 23 to 25 cents at 1220 to 1245. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 3 cents higher at 428 to 425. Soybean bids are up 28 to 31 cents at 1230 to 1279. Illinois soybean processor case soybean bids were 23 cents higher at 1253 to 1263. Basis was unchanged at 10 over to 20 over the January. Illinois corn processor case corn bids were up 3 cents, 440 to 465, with basis steady to option to 25 over the March. Illinois River barge loading elevated coated dip producer corn bids 4 to 5 cents higher at 448 to 454, with basis up 1 to 2 at 8 over to 14 over the March. Soybeans ended up 22 to 25 cents at 1247 to 1253, with basis mixed at 4 over to 10 over the January. East St. Louis barge loading placed their producer corn bids 2 cents higher, 473 to 474. These elevators raised their soybean prices 23 to 28 cents. Quotations at 1273 to 1278. So if we close 3 cents higher at 640 to 641, Milo ended the day up 2 cents at 510 to 515. Contract bids for producers for January delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 412 to 443. Soybeans at 1193 to 1236. In the central part of the state, corn for January delivery at 418 to 460. Soybeans at 1223 to 1264. And in the southern part of the state, corn for January delivery at 429 to 468. Soybeans at 1231 to 1279. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock futures report from yesterday, Monday. Cattle markets on Monday finished quietly and mixed. Lean hog futures finished higher on Monday as well. December live cattle were just over 10 cents higher. February were 20 lower. They closed the session at 114.65. An undeveloped cash market to start off the week and a holiday-type atmosphere left the market mostly unchanged throughout the session Monday. It did not appear traders were willing to take a strong stance one way or the other after the cattle on feed report Friday. Friday's numbers were in line with expectations. There may have been some hesitancy on the part of bullish traders in to buy on Monday as more concerns with COVID-19 have surfaced. Cases in Britain and South Africa are of new strands and garnered much attention Monday. Yet countering this is growing confidence that the vaccine being rolled out will help solidify a safer environment and consequently expectations for stronger consumer demand at the grocery store. Estimated slaughter was 119,000 head on Monday morning. Morning gains in choice were higher by $1.66 at $210.29, and selects were $2.57 higher at $196.84, and both were viewed as supportive. Your lean hog futures again finished higher on Monday, despite initial losses in the morning. February hogs are up 12 cents, $65.92. April hogs up by 7 cents to $70 even. Hogs were successful in continuing to push through and rally again Monday of last week's gains, despite low trade volume, ample supply, and the holiday ahead. Midday pork cutout values saw stellar support, and if the market can carry some of that into cutout values, the market could see a push higher or at least find fundamental support in the futures, which has been missing recently. Worth noting, Chinese officials continue to announce that they are rebuilding their hog herd at a quicker than expected pace, which could impact their need of U.S. pork. Hog slaughter Monday was 487,000 head. Rejected lean hog index for back on Friday was down $1.17, $62.55. Hog prices are lower on the National Direct Morning Hog Report, down by 28 cents, with a weighted average price of $50.56. Pork cutout totals were 220 loads traded, with 205 loads of pork cuts and 15 loads of trim. Pork cutout values were up by $6.51 to $77.98. And the USDA is due to release the quarterly hog and pig report 2 p.m. Central Time tomorrow, Wednesday. So again, to recap your livestock futures from yesterday, hogs were mixed from 20 cents lower to 10 cents higher, and your lean hogs were higher by 7 to 12 cents in the nearby contracts. Now we'll move on and take you back to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Monday's Cash Livestock Report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Monday Afternoon Livestock Report. Starting the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations are 200-pound pork carcass traded 26 cents lower, in a range of $45 to $53 with a weighted average carcass price of $50.58. From the Illinois Direct Sow Port, slaughter sow price were $1 to $4 lower with light demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded $20 to $25, 4 to 5 weighted $24 to $28. 5 to 6 weighted 27 to 32, and over 600 pounds, $30 to $34. From the Illinois Direct Hog Report, prices for barrels and gelts country buying points were a dollar lower with light to moderate demand for moderate offering range from $28 to $34. Packer receipts for barrels and gelts totaled $44,714. In the direct cattle trade, the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice heifers on a live basis trade at 104 to 105. From the National Daily Pork Plant Port, trading for retail and processing cuts was stylish with 378 loads traded. Calculations for 200-pound pork carcass was $72.34, which is 87 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Port, values for choice select beef carcasses are trading higher. Choice carcass are $210.92, which is $2.29 higher, while select herds are $194.26, which is $2.99 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 119,000 compared to 120,000 last week, 117,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 487,000 compared to 489,000 last week and 496,000 one year ago. That includes our livestock report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by Linko Precision and by the McAdams Millwright Service. It's 6:26, time now for part two of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by Stein Seed and by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, Auburn, and Jerseyville. And once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thanks again, Randy. Now in Ag News here on a Tuesday, American Farm Bureau Federation Congressional Relations Director Scott Bennett says the recently passed spending bill provides $13 billion to the USDA, with $11.2 billion provided to the Agriculture Secretary to support producers, processors, and contract growers of livestock.
Contract livestock growers will now be able to recover 80% of their losses caused by canceled or delayed orders. And we've also seen specialty and non-specialty crop growers receive through this round of aid $20 per planted acre. The markets for these crops disappeared overnight when the pandemic hit. And while many of these markets have recovered, the losses from earlier in the year continue to take their toll on farm families.
Additionally, specialty crop producers will be able to include crop insurance payments and disaster payments in their 2019 sales calculation, providing a more accurate picture of farm income. Bennett says the bill also renews the Paycheck Protection Program.
Small farmers continued to be hit hard by the pandemic. The Paycheck Protection Program, that money is a lifeline to keep families afloat, and we were excited to see that extended in this bill.
Bennett also says AFBF welcomes the much-needed relief package.
We're pleased that Congress understands that there's been a toll that this pandemic has continued to take on farmers, ranchers in rural America. This round of assistance, it addresses losses suffered by farmers who are forced to euthanize livestock prematurely with no market and therefore no income, and that includes contract growers. We're pleased that the bill provides additional help for specialty and non-specialty crop growers, and the Paycheck Protection Program will help small farmers continue operating.
Again, that's AFBF Congressional Relations Director Scott Bennett. In other ag news here on a Tuesday, federal guidance suggests that essential workers should be the next to receive the COVID-19 vaccine, including meat packers and farm workers. A Center for Disease Control Advisory Committee voted in favor of a blueprint for essential workers and people over 75 as recipients of the vaccine in the next phase. In a news release, North American Meat Institute President and CEO Julie Potts says priority access to vaccines is a critical step for the long-term safety and the selfless frontline meat and poultry workers who have kept America's refrigerators full and our farm economy working. She says the $1.5 billion in COVID prevention and supports implemented since the earliest days of the pandemic have reversed COVID's impact on the meat and poultry worker sector. Potts adds, Meat Institute members stand ready to support vaccination for a diverse workforce, which will also deliver a wide-ranging health benefit in rural and high-risk communities. Food and agriculture workers are considered essential workers, along with energy, trade, retail, and others. President-elect Joe Biden recently announced his White House climate team. With climate change a top focus of the incoming administration, the team will play an influential role on policy. The team is led by Gina McCarthy, the Obama-era Environmental Protection Agency administrator, who will serve as National Climate Advisor. Ali Zaidi was named Deputy National Climate Advisor. Zaidi currently serves in New York as a top energy and environmental post. Also on the climate team is Deb Haaland as the Biden Interior Secretary, Jennifer Granholm nominated as Biden's Energy Secretary, Biden EPA Administration pick Michael Reagan joins the team, and Brenda Mallory, Chair of the Council on Environmental Quality. In a weekend speech, Biden stated, "We see farmers making American agriculture first in the world to achieve net zero emissions and gaining new sources of income in the process." Incoming Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack is not part of the climate team, but is seen as a key player for the administration's climate goals. Moving on to livestock news now. Earlier on this year, the Department of Agriculture announced the first significant purchase for its Food and Mouth Vaccine Bank. This month, the purchase worth $27 million was delivered. Establishment of a robust FMD vaccine bank has been a top long-term priority for the National Pork Producers Council, which was instrumental in advocating for its establishment as part of the 2018 Farm Bill. Currently, USDA, which has prescribed vaccinations for dealing with FMD, does not have access to enough vaccines should an outbreak occur. FMD is an infectious viral disease that affects cloven-hoofed animals, including cattle, pigs, and sheep. It is not a food safety or human health threat, however. The disease is endemic in many parts of the world and would have widespread long-term fallout for livestock and crop agriculture, including the immediate loss of export market. NPPC says the organization looks forward to continuing the work with the agency to ensure the FMD vaccine bank is adequately stocked. And John Deere has announced a $1 million donation this week to the National FFA organization. The donation, scheduled for next year, will support FFA's mission through developing leadership skill, personal growth, and career success. Since John Deere's initial contribution of $1,000 in 1943, in the height of World War II, it has donated more than $16 million to the National FFA Foundation. John Deere was also one of the first corporate sponsors to form an FFA alumni and supporters chapter. Today, employees from John Deere facilities across the country volunteer to coach, mentor, and train FFA chapters. National FFA Foundation President Molly Ball says, "We are more than pleased to continue partnering with John Deere as we continue to provide programming that will enable the future of agricultural education and FFA." John Deere Vice President of Production Systems Aaron Wetzel stated, "At John Deere, we believe FFA is an important to the future of agriculture as any cutting-edge machine, technology, or service that John Deere delivers. Moving along now into State of Illinois Ag News and in more livestock news. According to the Livestock Management Facilities Act here in Illinois, livestock facilities across the state that house more than 300 animal units are required to have at least one certified livestock manager. The certificate is administered by the Illinois Department of Agriculture and is valid for 3 years. University of Illinois Extension provides the educational support and houses the new online certification. Next year will mark the 25th anniversary of the Certified Livestock Managers Training Program. Approximately 1,000 livestock producers have participated in each of the 8 3-year cycles. Now, managers have a convenient online opportunity to complete the certification. In addition, 4 virtual live webinars will be held, which will provide Illinois livestock producers the manure management training they need to meet requirements of the state's Livestock Management Facilities Act. Online training should be considered the first preferred option for everyone, according to Jay Solomon, Extension Educator. Producers take online training that consists of 9 lessons. Producers with less than 1,000 animal units will work through the lessons only. Having more than 1,000 animal units requires completing the lesson and passing the online test. Until December 1st of next year, livestock producers with more than 1,000 animal units can take the online test in lieu of the Illinois Department of Agriculture's paper-based test. One may access the online training online at go.illinois.edu/CLMT for a cost of $40. Any questions relating to the online program can be directed to the U of I Extension at 217-300-2644. For those wishing for a live webinar experience, 4 options are available coming up next year. They are on Wednesday, January 20th, Friday, January 29th, Tuesday, February 9th, and Thursday, March 4th. All 4 sessions are at 9 a.m. After the webinar, those with over 1,000 animal units will be required to log in and then take the 40-question online test in lieu of the IDOA's paper test. Pre-registration is required. Again, that's $40. And the website, again, go.illinois.edu/CLMT. And for questions with registration, the U of I number is 815-858-2273. And other state news for your Tuesday. This year was a time of year to learn new ways to do old things, according to Rachel Peabody with the Illinois Soybean Association. She says the organization learned to adapt and it was still able to accommodate soybean producers across the state.
We still had a lot of great producer touch points. We still had some great collaboration with our fellow ag groups in the state. And we really got a lot of good wins for soybean producers going and happening. Made us a really strong team. It made us a really flexible team. And I know I'm really proud of how everybody, including our farmer audience that we serve, I'm really proud of how everybody kind of banded together this year and made the best of the situation for sure.
One example, meeting with soybean buyers across the globe, but doing so via Zoom. According to the USDA, Illinois soybean yields are projected at 58 bushels an acre from this past harvest. And state legislative priorities have been outlined by the Illinois Farm Bureau. IFB's Mark Gebhartz has this rundown.
We want to maintain our tax policy provisions that currently exist for agriculture, and we want to make sure that we can maintain to whatever level we can, recognizing that just yesterday the governor announced over $711 million worth of cuts to the state budget that he wants to be considered. To try and keep adequate funding for the Department of Agriculture, of course, balanced process for siting livestock farms and operating them through the LMFA, the Livestock Management Facilities Act, another major priority. And a lot of work in the energy area with renewable energy. I think not only in the biofuels markets and in biodiesel, but just energy in general, whether that's wind, solar, et cetera, I think you're going to see an awful lot of attention in those areas. So those are just a few of the highlights.
The fall veto session of state Congress was canceled by Governor Pritzker and has declined to push for a special session at this time, so it's unclear when the Illinois General Assembly will convene again. And in state ag news, Holly Bauman of Pena was recognized earlier this month at the Illinois Leadership Council for Agricultural Education meeting as the District 3 Agriculture Advocacy Award winner. She is the Agriculture Program Specialist for Lincoln Land Community College and earned this honor for service to Illinois agriculture education over the last year. At LLCC, Bauman works with high school students to introduce them to many career opportunities in agriculture. She also provides agriculture education in both inside and out of the classroom. Bauman joined LLCC in 2018. She came to the college with experience in teaching high school agriculture at Pena High School and serving as the agronomy training coordinator for Effingham Equity. She earned a bachelor's degree in ag education from the U of I at Urbana-Champaign. LLCC offers a transfer degree in agriculture, along with occupational degrees and certificates in agribusiness management, precision agronomy, fertilizer, and horticulture. Registration for these opportunities is now open for the spring semester, which begins on January 9th. More information about it is online at llcc.edu/agriculture. And that wraps up Ag News on a Tuesday morning, but remember, you can always send us your Ag News by email at WSMI@WSMIradio.com. So again, for this Tuesday morning, December 22nd, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.